In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Sunday before the exaltation of the Holy Cross. I spoke about the epistle for this Sunday yesterday, as well as the epistle that is just for the regular Sunday. I thought I was going to talk to you about the parable of the kingdom of heaven being like a certain king at a marriage. But I think my heart tells me I need to tell you more about the cross, although maybe a little bit about the parable, because it does tie in. So we're going to summarize this parable quickly, even for me. It's impossible for me to be quick, I think. So this parable of the wedding feast is about the kingdom of heaven being like something. So the kingdom of heaven being like, in the scripture, is code word for this is how you have to live in order to be in the kingdom of heaven. And so the Lord brings forth his son so that we would have salvation, the incarnation. The marriage feast is the incarnation. And most people turn down the Lord's invitation. But of those that do not turn it down, they would be in the church. And those in the church have been baptized and been given a wedding garment. This wedding garment is white and is clean. And the custom in those days that the Lord is referring to is that a rich person would give a garment to everybody who came to the feast so that all would be clothed in beautiful apparel, especially if he was inviting poor people to the feast. So everybody had a garment, a wedding garment. But when the king, that is God, came to see those whom he had baptized, whom had come into the church, he saw a man without a wedding garment. And this person was speechless, because he had no excuse. The lack of a wedding garment means that after his baptism, he didn't struggle, he didn't strive, he didn't try to live a Christian life. He just sort of went through life, and he had no excuse. So that's basically a summary of that parable. We have no excuse if we do not struggle to become like Christ. And that ties in very, very much with the gospel for today and the epistle as well. In the gospel, the Lord says, "No man has ascended to heaven but he that came down from heaven." Do you understand that language? It's poetic language. But what it means is the one who came down from heaven is Jesus Christ by his incarnation. And then he says something where he equates himself with God. He calls himself the Son of Man. That doesn't sound like God. But then he says, which is in heaven? So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man by being born of a woman, a virgin. But he's always in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now this lifting up of the serpent is when the Israelites were being snake bitten because of their bad faith, and they were dying. And God told Moses to put a bronze serpent up and on a staff, and if they gazed upon the serpent, they would be healed. And of course that serpent, the Lord likens himself to a serpent here in humility, is Jesus Christ on the cross. And so those who gazed upon the serpent were healed of their snake bite and lived. And the Lord says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, what is belief? In our day, belief is very cheap, extremely cheap. You can believe, quote unquote, as a Christian and do anything and really say anything and believe anything, because you can basically tailor Christianity to whatever you want to believe. It was not always this way. To believe in the Son of God, to believe in Jesus Christ, is to live like him, is to struggle to be like him, because he is the standard that we must struggle to obtain. Even though we cannot be completely like him, we are to struggle to become like him. And I'll tell you why we should, or what should be able to motivate you, is what St. Paul says in the epistle. He says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And he goes on to say something that you must understand, not something that you know as a verse that you can quote, but something that must lie in your heart, that must motivate everything you do and must always be in your memory. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So remember the parable that we just spoke about? One of the details is that the king tells his servants to go out into the highways and to get both the bad and the good. There's a lot of symbolism in that, but when it comes to us directly, what it applies to for us, it means we're bad. And yet the Lord has come to claim us and brought us to the wedding feast. And we are baptized and we have a wedding garment and we've been changed. Now we can become good. That must be uppermost in your mind. Not even uppermost in your mind. It should be your whole existence. That you are a person who came away from darkness and are going to the light. And you're a new creature. You're a different person than before you were baptized. It doesn't matter if you were baptized when you were 40 days old or when you were baptized when you were 40 years old. You became a new creature at your baptism, capable of eternal life, capable of becoming light, capable of becoming completely good. And this must be what motivates everything you do. That is what belief in Christ is. This belief has been cheapened in our day. And we must take a stand against this cheapening, not by making our political views known, not by complaining about it. You can do those things if you wish. But the primary way in which we must take a stand against the cheapening of Christianity is that we don't live in a cheap way. That we live as new creatures. Because that's what we are. Because baptism has changed us. The Russians have the word baptism in Christ is very close. Can't say the word very well. I think baptism is Christoni, right? Right?
Yes.
And so baptism and the cross are completely connected. Because in baptism we've changed. And if we change, we should then, by believing in Christ, live like him, become like him. This is what you must do tomorrow. Not get up early to go to work. Not make sure that your insurance bill is paid. Not make sure that you return this item to the store. Those are all just other things. The most important thing that you must do tomorrow is live like Christ. To believe in him. Gaze upon the cross in your mind's eye and desire to become like him. That is what belief in Christ is. Nothing else. Everything else is cheap. Some of you don't remember. Some of you weren't alive during this time. But it used to be on days like today or yesterday when America would be engaging in its favorite religion. In football stadiums across the world, or across the land, we think it's the world, but that's because we're conceited. We think it's a worldwide sport. It's really just been America, pretty much. As they would kick field goals, somebody would be holding up John 3:16, as if there was something magical about that. And we read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I always thought it was kind of cheap. It was just sort of like a publicity stunt. It happened constantly when I was a young boy watching football on TV. I don't know if it happens now because I don't watch football on TV. I don't think it does. I don't think people even care about the numbers, John 3:16 anymore. It makes no sense to them whatsoever. But what these words mean is that the God-man, Jesus Christ, became man. Jesus Christ became man so that we could be saved, so that we could be changed, so that we could become a new creature and not live like the old creature. The old creature dies. The new creature has life. And he came so that whoever believes in him would not perish. And this belief is not this shallow belief that I'm Orthodox, or I happen to know a few verses from the Philokalia, or I can sing some things, or my family has been Orthodox for generations. So what? The Lord said he could raise up stones to Abraham. We're nothing special, but we've been baptized. And because of this baptism, we can become perfected. This is the only thing that you should place your confidence in, not in your patrimony, your ethnicity, your intelligence, your accomplishments in the world, none of it. The only thing we should place our confidence in is Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven and made us capable of coming up to heaven. That's what belief in the cross is. I was a Protestant for a short period of time in my life, a very instructive time. They taught me by what they didn't say, and a little bit by what they did say. And for them, the cross was this whole constructed doctrine about how we were saved and all kinds of stuff. The cross is an example of how to live. The Lord could have chosen to die any way he wished. He chose to die on the cross as an example to us, because we are to live in this way. We are to take up our cross because we are different than the world. Do you act different than the world? Do you say any prayers before you've gone to work? Do you love your neighbor? Are you humble in your heart? Do you control your thoughts? When you talk, do you sound just like everybody else? These are questions you must answer for yourself. We are different. We are new creatures. We are to live as new creatures. That is what belief in the cross is. We celebrate the cross this Tuesday. It would be very good if some of you that normally don't would make arrangements to come to the service. I know it's a weekday, but it's about the cross. And the cross is our salvation. Not because of Jesus hanging on it, but because of Jesus transforming us through the cross and through baptism and the sending of the Holy Spirit and the ascension into heaven, all of it, so that we could live as new creatures. May God help you to glory in the cross, to believe in the cross, to believe in the one who hung upon the cross, that is, to try to live as he lived. God bless you and help you. Amen.